Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Constitutionalist, Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Central. I'm here with I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson, number one. I'm here with my co-host, Travis Bull Johnson. We're with the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota, and hopefully that party grows throughout the 50 states, and that's what we're working on doing right now. But, Travis, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. I mean, we just came off our big first convention this weekend. I think it was a roaring success. We got a lot of good things accomplished for the new party, including our very limited platform. Got our new officers elected. Congratulations, by the way, and thank you for joining us on that. And we got some exciting things starting to go on now. I mean, it's been a real busy day the last 48 to 72 hours since the end of that convention. Things have just started to skyrocket.
Yeah, we put out a video this morning on TikTok. The Constitutional Republic Party has its official TikTok called US Con Rep on TikTok, and that video, which features me, convention, actually has gone over 21,000 views the last time I looked, and followers on the TikTok has gone up, probably 300 or 400, I think, today, or 200, something like that. But it's a good sign and a good start to what we're trying to do. So I'm really excited.
Can you imagine how much it would have gone up if the spokesperson wasn't so ugly?
I did say in the messenger today that I do have a face for radio. And, Travis, if you want to join me with that, we do have a face for radio, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got one message today, though, that asked me if beards were a requirement of the new party.
Yeah, because we all have beards or goatees, yeah. Not a requirement, obviously. No. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are we're back on schedule here. The last couple of weeks, scheduling has not worked out in our favor. It's called life, and we try hell or high water to get on, make sure that we, spread the news to you, not the news, but the Constitution to you. And I think, as we move forward, we'll incorporate a little bit more of the Constitutional Republic Party into this broadcast so you guys can find out who we are and what we are and what we stand for. Basically, it's the Constitution. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So if you are listening and you want to check us out, go to constitutionalrepublicparty.us, and that'll bring you right to our platform, and we're living in exciting times. And like Travis said earlier, he's going to be announcing stuff in the upcoming weeks that basically you're going to go right toward you're going to go toe-to-toe with the federal government, basically. State government, I should say, not federal. Am I right on that? State? Yeah.
Yeah, both, really.
Yeah.
We're going after both of them. I mean, they both are way too large. But, again, the big thing we want to do is return as much control to the local level as possible.
Right.
People should be able to have input on decisions in their area.
Right. And you're doing it through the legal process, and you're doing it according to the Constitution. So that's the main people need to understand, is that – everything that we do, it's not because we want power. We want control. It's about taking control back from the federal government and the state governments and giving it back to the people where it belongs. And that's our founding documents, the Bill of Rights, Constitution. But tonight we're going to talk about the Fourth Amendment tonight. And the Fourth Amendment, the reason they put this amendment in play was back in the 1700s. The British soldiers would just walk into people's homes and take food or any item that they want with no repercussions. That's what they did.
Yeah.
So the Fourth Amendment states that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So basically what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that the law enforcement has to go to a judge with beyond reasonable doubt their suspicion of you of committing a crime. And whatever crime you've committed, then they'll be issued a search warrant by the judge. And then they can come in and they can actually, you know, seize anything that is pertinent to that crime that you may have committed. So this protects you from somebody just coming in your home because they don't like you. And I'm going to take your car, I'm going to take your food, or I'm going to take this, or I'm going to take that, when you have committed no crime. Me and Bull talked a little bit about this pre-show, and the subject that got brought up right away in my mind when we were discussing what we were going to talk about, you know, the Fourth Amendment, was the stop and frisk law that they started rolling out in, like, New York State and different areas like that, where people would be walking down the street, and if you looked suspicious to the police officers, they'd stop and frisk you and violate your Fourth Amendment right by just being able to travel freely. But you can't do that. It's against the Constitution. What's your thoughts on the Fourth Amendment there, Bull?
I mean, a couple things. One of the things I do want to point out, though, is when it comes down to a search warrant, they don't need to be able to present something to the judge that's beyond a reasonable doubt. They need to get probable cause, which is basically more likely than not you did something. But they have to do it. They have to have an oath and swear to these facts, and that's why they believe that you likely did something that would warrant them being able to further look into it.
Yes. And thank you for correcting me on that, because I knew as soon as I said it that I worded it wrong. Beyond reasonable doubt is when you go to court, okay? They have to prove you beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt. So sorry about that, but thank you for correcting me.
I mean, this is something that's very a topic that, of course, is very important to me, because this is what basically gives us our property rights. This is what gives us our ability for our home to be secure, to be our home. And Supreme Court has basically put almost like a wall around your house that says, you know what, this is an area, this is yours, come in and look for anything or anything like that without having that warrant, that piece of paper. And that's what everyday Americans need to understand. If a police officer shows up at your house without a warrant and asks for your permission to look around the house, tell them no. Tell them to come back with a warrant. I mean, nothing good is going to happen by you voluntarily letting them into your house to dig around and look to see if they happen to find something, because they could be coming in here looking for a fugitive. But they see your bong or something, like anything in your house that they don't think that is illegal, now that gives them the reason to further start looking and start digging. Once you make that initial allowance to let a police officer, let the authorities look at your house or look through your house or search your things without your permission, as soon as you try to start reinforcing the need for them to get your permission, now you look guilty. So it is best just to not open that door from the get-go. Jeremy talked a little bit about in New York when they had stop and frisk for a while, and that was later determined to be unconstitutional. The one of the exceptions, I guess you could say, to that is, say you're pulled over in a traffic stop and you're asked to get out of the car. Police can pat you down basically to ensure that you do not have a dangerous object on you that can be used against them at the traffic stop. But, again, they cannot search inside your car. They're going to ask you, can I search your car? Can we look for this? Tell them no. There's no probable cause. Some things people don't realize, I mean, Supreme Court has passed, has allowed DUI checkpoints. But the catch is, like a DUI checkpoint, that's all they can check. They are not allowed to do narcotics checkpoints or anything like that. Now, one of the things I was not aware of until I looked into it or was doing more research today is a drug sniffing dog. A drug sniffing dog is allowed to go around your car sniffing, looking for drugs without your permission because they're not actually going into the vehicle. It'd basically be about the same as an officer walking around your car, sniffing to see if he smells pot coming from your car. They're allowed to do that. They're just not allowed to go into that car without your permission or a warrant or a probable cause.
Now, I want to bring up a case, Travis, that we did not talk about prior to the show that I was actually just looking up while you were talking. This case happened in 1967. The Supreme Court case, Katz, K-A-T-Z, or I don't know how you pronounce it, but I'm going to say Katz versus United States. Basically, what it was is it was a case which the court found the government putting a cap on a public payphone as a violation of the user's Fourth Amendment. And here's something that needs to be brought up. Whether you like Trump or you hate Trump, it doesn't matter to me. That's your business, your opinion, your choice. I don't care about that. But there is they were found, the Obama administration and the Clintons, where Hillary Clinton was involved. This was in the 2015, 2016, in that whole heated presidential run, where they had found that they had spied on Trump's campaign in Trump Tower by bugging his office, and they were spying on him. That was a direct violation of his Fourth Amendment right. The bad part about this, ladies and gentlemen, is not only did Clinton do this, Clinton's campaign, but Obama knew about it. So did Joe Biden, and so did the DOJ and the FBI. So your federal government literally just, they spied on a sitting United States president. That should scare out of all of you.
Thanks to the Patriot Act, they have got a lot of surveillance capabilities that probably should not be allowed under the Fourth Amendment.
Yes.
I mean, there is so much information that they are looking and collecting on us, and they call it metadata. It's broad, where it's not as personally identifying. But, yeah, I mean, there is just so much on there. That's why when I was running for Congress, one of the things I ran on was basically repealing the Patriot Act, because the more power you give them, because you know why they were able to get these taps on Trump? Patriot Act. Consistent court orders based on one of his aides talking to a Russian. Therefore, they utilized that to go to the fifth of courts to be able to get that ability to wiretap him, and that's what they used. They wiretapped him, not on a regular police or FBI wiretap. This was on a special court used for espionage. Now, and since we're talking about wiretaps and we're talking about recordings, there is one thing I do want to throw out there is with President or former President Trump, and all of these recordings that they're getting ready to use against him in these document trials with classified documents. President Trump made a huge mistake. He was so used to being misquoted, and the media and tabloids and everything else using these misquotes against him. He always gave permission for him to be recorded, so there was always proof of what he said, so he could not be misquoted. And his giving permission for that is what was why all of these recordings that they're using against him now are going to be able to be used against him, is because he actually gave permission to be recorded consistently against to protect themselves from being misquoted. If he had not done so, in Florida, it's a state where for recording to be used, both people must consent to it, or there must be a warrant or in place. So I know this has come up in various conversations I've had, that we have talked about this upcoming trial and the situation with Trump and these recordings being used. So I have been doing quite a bit of research on it lately, and yeah, that's why they're able to be able to be used, is because he actually gave permission to be recorded, and then he told them about everything he shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
It was not the brightest move.
No, it would have been a violation of his Fourth Amendment if they would have tried to use that if he had not given his permission to be recorded.
Exactly.
So if they would have tried to use that, then they would have been violating his Fourth Amendment right.
Or it would not have been allowed to be used in court.
Correct. Right. But yeah, it wouldn't be a violation of his Fourth. Well, it would be a violation of his Fourth and his First. I would. Yeah. Right.
Well, again, a lot of it depends on who's doing the recording.
Right. But there, I just found another case, Bull, and this one is Terry versus Ohio. And it was 1968. Law enforcement officers are permitted to conduct a limited warrantless search on a level of suspicion less than probable cause. And it basically says a police officer may stop a suspect on the street and frisk him or her without probable cause. So it goes to back to the probable cause or suspicion. So
what year was
this
that?
One's a hard one. That was a 1968 Terry, Terry versus Ohio.
And,
if you want to,
and I'm wondering
look
if it,
that up.
I'm wondering if it has since been overturned.
It's very, very possible. I'm just going through this stuff as we're talking here, just as an example. But you. When you get into these cases, ladies and gentlemen, you have to go back and dig what major Supreme Court cases were a violation of any of your constitutional rights, what was the outcome on them, and make sure that you go all the way from when, like that was 68. So there might have been another case that I have not come across yet that was in, let's say, 2015, where they overturned that previous ruling. I mean, that's a very good possibility. So whatever I say on here, number one, I'm not an expert, I'm not a lawyer. And number two, do your own research, do your own digging. Don't take my word for everything. Like, oh, that's gospel. I'm just trying to lead you in a direction. And I say that on my Thursday night radio show too. I know a lot of useless information and a lot of information that's really good information, but it doesn't mean that I'm an expert in any area. So. We're just trying to explain what your constitutional rights are. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bull.
All right. So I've got a question for you. You're a truck driver. If a police officer pulls you over and wants to see your cargo, what rules do you have to follow?
I have to show them my cargo. And then what they do is they cut the seal, because every one of our loads, when you pick it up from the shipper, they put a seal on it, which ensures the receiver that when this trailer was loaded with whatever product I have on, when I got to where I'm delivering it to, there's a seal on it that's not been broken. They know that their product has not been tampered with. So, like on the border, it's very popular for the checkpoint to pull a truck off to the side because they have suspicion of they may be hauling illegal, aliens or whatever in the cargo department
right.
of the trailer. So what they'll do is they'll cut that seal and they'll open up the back and they'll inspect the inside of your trailer with the product in there. And they have found people in there. But what happens then, so your seal is broken, you think, oh, so my load's going to get rejected because I don't have the proper seal. Well, what they do is they put on an official U.S. government or highway patrol seal with a form that says that they were the ones that were in there, so if nothing got tampered with or poisoned or anything like that, it's still a safe load. So, but yes, it happens all the time, and some people are caught trying to harbor illegal immigrants. So, I mean,
but
it's a whole different. Go ahead.
My question is, under the Fourth Amendment, what gives them that right or authority?
See, and that's where there's a gray area here, because we are considered CDL holders and commercial vehicles, where they have a whole new different set of, like my ELD, electronic logging device. Let's use that as an example. What gives them the right to monitor me all day, every day, with a computer that, and I have to pay $50 a month to have it in my truck for them to monitor me? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and honestly, it should be unconstitutional. But we don't have any trucking organizations that have taken it to the Supreme Court or have fought for that. As far as I know, I could be wrong again. You have to do your own research on that, and I certainly am not trying to lie to you. But there's a lot of things in the trucking industry people looked into that you would look and say, wow, that's not right. But what do you do with no money? You know what I mean? You kind of just kind of – they force you into compliance, basically.
Well, and that's what I was trying to figure out, because, I mean, they wouldn't have probable cause. So, and that's why I think between this week and next week, I'm going to do a little more research on that, and hopefully I'll have an answer next week as far as why they can do that or what justification they use. Because now I'm curious. I mean, I hadn't thought about that before our show tonight. Otherwise, I would have already looked it up. But, yeah, I'm kind of curious on what justification they can use. I mean, because it still should. I mean, it's still – I mean, that – well, I guess the trailer – is do you own the trailer, or does the company own the trailer?
I'm a leased on owner operator, which means I own the truck, and then I lease the trailer from them. You know, I give them a certain percentage of my earnings every week in order, you know, to haul their product, have them dispatch me, do my paperwork, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm still wondering why they wouldn't. I mean, because the police couldn't just show up at a factory and the man to look for something without a warrant. What makes that truck or that transportation any different than the factory? I mean, unless they're looking something safety wise, it just doesn't. I don't see where they would have the authority.
See when I get pulled over random for a random inspection, or I'm going through a scale or whatever, and they. Like about a month ago, I got pulled around the back of an Illinois scale, and I got out and met the DOT officer, and he says, I'm pulling you in. We're going to do a first level one inspection. A level one is when they dig into your truck. Like they crawl underneath on a crawler. They check your brakes and all that good stuff. They have the legal authority as a commercial vehicle to do that. Now, if you'd have said, okay, I'm done checking your truck. Now I want to go inside your truck and search your personal property, then I would have had a problem. Because it's none of their business what I have in my truck, as long as there's no reasonable suspicion that I'm doing anything illegal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if
so the trailer's really all
around, you're not going to check. Right.
So the cargo is really all they can inspect. They cannot inspect, say, the front of your truck.
Well, see, but they have done that because people don't know their rights. Now, I've never been asked, but if I was asked, I would tell them that I want a U.S. Marshal on scene before you enter my truck in any way, any capacity. Not that I have anything to hide, but I don't trust people. There's been many times where you got crooked officers that they put drugs in a vehicle, or they do this or they do that, and you know, and then you're standing there like, I don't do drugs. Well, why did we find them in here then?
Yep.
You know, that's why you have to have somebody that's not associated with those officers present if they're going to search. And if you ever bring that up, then they, number one, they get suspicious, right? Well, what are you trying to hide? No, I'm just trying to protect my rights. they officers right. forget sometimes that you do have rights. So, you know, I did run across another.
And they immediately think you're trying to hide something.
Right, yeah. They go from, you know, everything's cool to, oh, now you're a suspicious character. Well, because this is my home. Sometimes I'm gone for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. I want my privacy. I don't want you digging through my underwear drawer or any of that stuff. Like this is my. I don't go through your dresser. I consider this my home. You know, if everything up here in my cab part, you can see that I don't have any illegal substances for them. I mean, you can see. Then what do you need to be looking at? You know, digging through my sock drawer for? You know, it's like no. I'm not comfortable with that. I wouldn't allow you into my house without a warrant to do that, and you're not going to get my truck without a warrant to do that. That's just the bottom line.
Right.
But I did find another case in 1985. This was New Jersey versus TLO. It was a female student was searched at school, and the evidence collected was used by the state in her delinquency trial in juvenile court.
Yep.
This court held that a New Jersey public school principal had the right to search a student's purse without a warrant.
Yep.
So there are cases, ladies and gentlemen, that this stuff does happen and that it is deemed legal. It's important to know your rights when and how it's okay or when it's not okay. You have to know your rights in order to protect yourself.
Now, the reason they found that particular case that the principal had that right is because once that student or once that child enters the school literally has authority over them. So that is why they're allowed to do that search, is because they're under the authority of the school while they are at school. That's one of the ways that they get around a lot of this is, and people ask, students are at, people ask, well, why can this be taught or why can that be taught or why don't I have a say? Is because literally the courts have ruled that once they get onto school, they are school's responsibility. So the school can make that decision on whether that child should be searched or not. Now, I don't particularly agree with it, but that's what the courts have decided.
So would that be the same case as a private, let's say a business, like you went to a bar or restaurant and you had a backpack? Where you see a lot more of these places now are banning anybody wearing a purse or a backpack. They don't want them in their business because they could conceal a gun or whatever.
Right.
I wonder if that would, also hold up for somebody like that, like in a private sector.
Not that way, but on the flip side, that business has the authority to say, I don't want you in my business. And unless you show me what's in your backpack, I'm just not going to allow you in. I've got freedom of association. I don't have to associate with you. I don't know you enough to trust you or trust what you're bringing into my establishment. And if you don't show me what you have, then I'm just not going to allow you into my private business.
Correct.
And they would have that right because they are the owner of that property. And you can determine who's on your property.
If any of you that are listening, you want to add to the conversation or you have your own example of a Fourth Amendment right being violated or a case study or any of that and you want to share it live on air, you're more than welcome to call in. That guest call-in number is get a pen and piece of paper first. I'll give you like a few seconds to grab a piece of paper and a pen. And it's the same guest call-in number that if you listen to our Thursday night show, same guest call-in number. You call in, and once you hear us over your phone, then you just press the number 1. That lets my switchboard know that you have something to say. And we'll bring you on. It doesn't matter if you agree with us or disagree with us. The problem with this country is we've lost, you know, our civil discourse where we can have a conversation. We need to have conversations, whether we agree or disagree. We don't have to, you know, call each other names or any of that. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. But that phone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 516-387-1733. And again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. 1733. And we also do have a live chat, which I hadn't fired up yet, but I'm firing it up right now. I apologize for not getting to that right away. Sometimes there's people on here that have, you know, they don't want to talk on the radio, so they chat out their message or type out their message through our chat. And then we take their question over the chat and we discuss it. And you can certainly do it that way, too, if you're not comfortable coming live on air. I just wanted to give you guys those options if you're listening. Yeah, you're more than welcome to come on air with us and have a discussion. We always appreciate, you know, that kind of interaction. So to the Fourth Amendment. There's been a lot of cases that have been challenged and lost, and a lot of cases that have been challenged and won. The biggest, the most important thing that you need to realize is, okay, so you read the Fourth Amendment, and just because you believe it was an illegal search or seizure doesn't mean it was. So you have to go back and look at case studies that happened through state Supreme Courts or the federal Supreme Court or however. Because that matters. And if it's comparable to what you went through and you felt that your rights were violated and you find a case study that's basically right on, then, hey, then you got something. Then you know that you have a direction to take. But it's very important that you do your own research and not listen, you know, just because me and Travis say something again on here doesn't make us the experts. I mean, we do. Travis knows a hell of a lot more what he's talking about than I do, but we do have a little knowledge on things, and which I mean, Travis was successful in starting his own, you know, political party, and I say his own, but it's not his. I know he doesn't think that way, and it's not per se, but he is very strong believed. He believes in the Constitution very strongly. Let me put it that way. And which is why I've you know, got involved with Travis, because I think he's headed in the right direction. And he's corrected me numerous times, and he'll probably correct me a million more, and that's good. Being corrected is not a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. That just means you're being steered in the right direction with the truth. So just remember that. I'm looking up other case studies here too, Travis, as we're talking, because I really want to get in depth of, like, here's one, Adams versus Williams, and let me just click on that real quick, and we'll kind of go through a few case studies so you folks understand examples of the Fourth Amendment and was it violated or not. So this particular case was argued in February 24th. And 25th of 1959, and it was decided on March 28th of 1960. So this went on for over a year. That was the Abel versus United States. Abel versus United States was Abel properly arrested pursuant to an Administrative Immigration and Naturalization Service warrant despite an overlapping FBI investigation for espionage. Were the Fourth and the Fifth Amendments violated when the United States searched and seized evidence from Abel while he was in custody pursuant to an INS warrant? That was that citation 362 U.S. 217, 1960. You can go look this stuff up. It's all easily available on the Internet, and research this stuff so you're well-versed on what the Fourth Amendment and what it means and examples of violations or not. There's a numerous ones here. It's Adams versus Williams, Aguilar versus Texas, Air Pollution Variance Board of Colorado versus Western Alfalfa Corporation. You'll see real quick that the government has been intrusive for a very, very long time, and they push the limits because they have the money to fight it.
Now, one thing I would encourage people to notice as well is on a warrant. The warrant must be very specific. They can't just say they're here to look at your house. It has to be in what area of your house. What exactly are they looking for? So if they have a warrant to search your son's bedroom, that does not give them the permission to nose around every other area of the house. But you know what? Until you stop them, they will look around. They may not move a lot, but they're going to be looking around to see if there's anything, quote unquote, in plain view. So if they have a warrant for a specific area of your house, bring them straight to that area, and that's it. They don't need to be looked, because remember, when they're there, they're looking to close a case, and they don't necessarily care for sure if they get the right one, or right person or not, as long as they get somebody. They could have the best of intentions, but you leave yourself vulnerable for misinterpretations, for numerous other potential liabilities. You just don't want to do. I mean, and you got to protect your rights. I mean, I'm going to go a little bit further into this for a moment if I can. I spent three
Absolutely.
Years. I spent 3 years working at a U.S. embassy in Amman, Jordan. I had a type of diplomatic immunity. And one of the things they drilled into us over and over and over again before we even got on station was, you are a diplomat. Your goods are not, or your property is not subject to search by the foreign nationals. Period. Stop. You're flying in with something? No. They don't have the authority to look in your bag. You have diplomatic immunity. And that is actually something, and one of the reasons they pushed that so hard is because once somebody gave them permission, then they would use that against every other diplomat, going, well, such and such came through here. He let us do it. Why aren't you? And then all of a sudden you were the bad guy. But if everybody stuck to their guns, then it was just, okay, this is what it is. But the second somebody would open that door, and that is kind of the same way this is. The second you open that door, it's expected. Yep.
We do have a caller. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have a caller, and I like when we have interaction, we really like that. So I'm going to bring the caller on, 6606. You're going to be live on air with Jeremy and Travis Bull Johnson. I'll bring you on right now. And, okay, 6606,
hello,
you're live on air.
Hello, gentlemen.
What would you like?
My name is Joe from Montana. And the reason I called in tonight is because, hey, guys, I saw the title of The Constitutionalist. I'm not going to interrupt your show for long. The thing is that right now, as I'm speaking, there's another show that I left. It's called Restoring Your Republic. And what we're doing, we're gathering Blog Talk show hosts together to see if we can come up with solutions to solving the problems about corruption and the government overreaching and sort of, and oppressing all of the people within the United States. So that's what we're doing now. So I thought I'd invite both of you, if you have time, because the show will be over by 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you guys would like, I can give you the name of the show and the phone number, and if you have time, you can contribute your ideas about how to provide solutions to get rid of the corrupt scumbags in Congress as mayors and governors, et cetera. So is that okay?
What was the name of the show, Joe?
It's called Restoring Your Republic.
Restoring Your Republic.
Right. And it's hosted by Joseph Gibson. He used to be an undercover DEA agent. He also went to jail, was in the hole as an agent.
Well,
and
Joe, I'm glad
right
you called
now,
in because right as we're on this call, Travis Bull Johnson is actually the founder and chair of the Constitutional Republic Party.us in Minnesota. Like, so we are, and I actually sit on the board at large. We are actually currently in the process legally trying to change from within by creating a new political party. So I'm glad that you called in and you gave us that information. I always share out anybody that wants to call in and say, hey, I've got this, you know, blog talk radio show or this is where, you know, my platform, where anybody that is trying to do anything to save this republic, this constitutional republic, you have my instant support. As long as you're doing it the legal way and the constitutional way, we are all on board. Am I fair in saying that, Travis?
By all means.
I'm glad. And so we welcome your suggestions because this is the beginning. I promoted it for a couple of weeks. This is the beginning show to have people together. Somebody's working on a mission statement. I've already offered some preliminary solutions. So I'd be glad to welcome both of you if you have the time to come in tonight and offer your philosophies about how to solve this problem, what I call the scumbags in Congress. So hopefully you have time tonight. If not, he's got the show on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
At 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so six to, and you guys run 6 to 9?
7 to 10.
Okay, 7 to 9 Eastern. Okay. Joe, before you go, let me ask you, can I have your permission to write down your phone number?
Sure.
Okay, I won't say your full phone number on air. I agree, or I mean, I believe in privacy, but I'm going to write your phone number down personally for me, and then me and Bull, we can have a discussion about, you know, maybe joining your broadcast, too, and having you guys come over and join ours, too, when we're discussing, you know, different amendments. And that's how we're going to educate the public, and yeah. So, no, I appreciate you calling in, Joe.
Well, I'm glad I did. Our particular aim is to create pressure on these on corporate media and on the politicians to let them know that we're not laying back and just waiting for them, you know. So, and the Constitutional Party, and, you know, I'm a libertarian, so we're competitors in a way, but we're on the same page.
I actually came over from the Libertarian Party. When I created this party, I just felt the LP was just more interested in fighting them themselves than fighting the government.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God. Like that saying is, trying to hurt. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you know, that expression about hurting cats, it applies to the Libertarian Party. You can't get anything done.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, I tell you, and I'm a 20-year Army vet, and I was having a hard time finding a home in the Libertarian Party for a patriot, because there are so many anarchists there that don't believe in any type of government that it was hard for me to find a home there, and that's why we decided to come out and start our new party out here.
I know. Everybody who's a libertarian or libertarian-minded, everybody thinks they can solve the problems all by themselves. Wave a magic wand, and all of a sudden, hey, all the problems are gone. I'm afraid not, people. We have to have unity. We have to have good ideas. We have to implement them, and it takes elbow grease. So I'll give you the number for the show.
I took your phone number now down, Joe, and I'll text you later. My phone number starts with a 507 area code. I'll let you know that it's from the Jeremy from the Constitutionalist Radio Blog Talk Radio Show. Then we can communicate a little bit, we can plan. Me and Vulcan maybe could plan on coming on some night after we do our show, like for the last hour of for the last hour of your show, you know, because we do ours every Tuesday night from 6 to 7, 6 to 8, somewhere around in there, Central Time. So about the same time you're on.
Okay, cool. And then maybe we can come on your show. We can spread the word about both our shows, our ideas together. Hopefully it will form a good cohesive unit. So thanks for the time, guys.
Absolutely.
Back to the show.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, take it easy. Take care now.
Yep, thanks, Joe. Bye-bye. I appreciate you, man. Okay, that was cool. I mean, any time that we have – go ahead, Joe. Or I'm sorry, Bull.
No, it's just so funny because you heard the response as soon as I talked about libertarians fighting each other, and you heard that's exactly what ends up happening.
I mean, which is probably the reason why they haven't advanced further than they have, or is because, again, they're too busy training the guns inside the circle instead of outside the circle.
Yeah, listen, I started out, and I'm gonna be honest with the audience for a second, because this will blow your mind. This will literally blow your mind. About four and a half years ago, I was more on the sides of libertarian, but before that, I was a Democrat. I voted everything Democrat, because that's how I was brought up. Without even looking into politicians, but it was ingrained in my skull that you're a Democrat, so you vote for Democrat. And then I started looking at things differently throughout life, and I seen different things and experienced different things, and I'm like, I really don't fall on the side of a Democrat, even though I kind of had the bleeding heart liberal attitude. And if you have that, more power to you, whatever. I just thought about it a little bit. And then I started educating myself. I started getting into politics a little bit more heavily, because I started getting involved with trucking advocacy, where I was protesting peacefully, of course. I've never been arrested for protesting. I've never became violent, and I never damaged anybody's property. I did it according to our First Amendment. I've held some very, very, very large protests. The last one being that I was involved with was the People's Convoy. Before that, in 2020, we sat on Constitution Avenue with over 200 trucks at any given time for three straight weeks. Never moved our trucks for three straight weeks on the South Lawn of the White House. No arrests, no violence, no damage to property. We were peacefully assembling. That's what we did. But through this process, I went in from being a Democrat to a Libertarian, and then all of a sudden, I found myself with no political home, because there was some Libertarians that I really liked, Spike Cohen being one of them. He's a pretty common sense guy, in my opinion. But the major parties, the Democrat parties and Republican parties, very few of them do I like, because they seem to go where their donors' money is going or is. And I randomly found Travis Bull Johnson running for District 7 Congress in Minnesota on Facebook, at random. And I listened to what this guy had to say. And I'm like, that guy believes exactly what I believe. Like, this, you know, everything. Right. 99.9% of it. I don't think it's possible to agree with somebody 100% of the time, but that doesn't mean you're against them if you disagree with them. But I found Travis, and, you know, I reached out to him, and he met me down at a parade in Southwest Minnesota campaigning, and then we went to a rally up at the Capitol, Save the Guard, with Jesse Ventura was one of the guest speakers up there, and the vice chair for the Constitutional Republic Party, who ran for state senator in what county was that, or district, Bull?
Oh, I don't remember. He's south of the city. He was in the GOP at that point.
Yeah, yep, and he's a vice chair of the Constitutional Republic Party, and he ran as a Republican. You know, so this party that Bull has created in Minnesota, it doesn't consist of staunch conservatives, Republicans, Libertarians, or even Democrats. It consists of American people in the great state of Minnesota that believe in the Constitution. And I found my home when I started conversing with Travis and realizing that, hey, he's not no radical or anything like that. He's just a guy like me. You know, has a farm, and he wants to see what's best for this country according to our Constitution, and he agrees just as much as I do that our current government, state and federal and local, are trampling all over the Constitution to retain power. And both sides of the aisle, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. That's what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, that's why me and Travis agreed to start doing a radio show talking about the Constitution. Number one, you know, the First Amendment, Bill of Rights, the first 12 or 13 are considered the Bill of Rights, correct?
First 10.
first hand there. See, and that's why it's good to have two minds. Two minds are always better than one, because I would share you false information. But so the first 10 is considered the Bill of Rights, and that was ratified in 1891 or 1791.
How about that? You're about 100 years off, buddy.
I was a century off there. But yeah, so we're here just to talk about the Constitution, so you understand what your rights are, and hopefully through the process, under every one of the amendments that we discuss every night, or every Tuesday night, I'm sorry, we can give you some case studies to go look up, so you understand, you know, what is legal and what is not legal. But it was really cool to have a caller like that that has their own blog talk. They're trying to grow theirs, which is fine. I'm not here for a competition. I'm here to educate the public, and hopefully you'll check out constitutionalrepublicparty.us. That's constitutionalrepublicparty.us. That is the platform. You can see everything, what the party's goals are, and basically, in a nutshell, the party's goals are to restore our founding documents back to what they were intended for, and that is rights for we the people, not for we the government. When President Joe Biden stood up on that podium that night and said, "We the people is we the government," that really, really upset me. I was upset. I don't know what it did for you, Travis, but when I heard him say that, I'm not going to say the words on here, but I yelled at my screen for a good 10 minutes. I was upset. That was not right, and we the people is not we the government. And the fact that our current federal government thinks that way, we have a serious problem in this country, ladies and gentlemen. Now, sorry, I go off on a rant sometimes. No.
Well, and I was doing a little more research a little earlier when you were talking, and one thing I did not know. So you know, if you're arrested, they have to redo your Miranda rights. Okay, they have to tell you anything you say can be what, and if they don't do that, then they cannot use anything you may say against you because they have not Mirandized you. You cannot, if you don't ask for it, it's kind of like if you don't ask for a lawyer, doesn't mean you waive your right. However, the police do not have to tell you that you have a right to deny them a search. They do not have to inform you that they cannot search your property without your permission. That's
you
why
have
they just
to know
say,
that.
Hey, do you mind if I'm... Yeah, you have to know that. They don't have to tell you. Unlike the Fifth Amendment, where you can't waive those rights. You have those rights. Another thing I found interesting. Say I'm not at home, and the police come by here and ask my wife, hey, you mind if we look around the house or whatever? And she says yes. I didn't give my consent, but we both live here. She gave her consent. I'm not here. I don't have a say in the matter. If we're both here and she says, yes, you can look around, and I say, no, you can't, they cannot. They actually need consent from both people if they are present. So it's not a... I mean, it's a better idea if you and your other half are both on the same sheet of music, but I just found that kind of interesting.
We do have another caller.
Great.
I don't know if this is the same one that we had issues with before on my Thursday night show, but it possibly is. I'm going to bring the caller on. But I'm just going to warn you, if you're going to get on here and cause disruption or problems, I'm just going to go right back to muting you. I hope that's not your intention, caller. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I will bring you on 1111. We'll bring you live on air. and see what you have to say and add to the conversation.
Hey, what's up, yo?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm all right. Not much going on. I was listening to you guys for a bit, and, you know, since you're talking about the Fourth Amendment, I got to make a suggestion, and it's going to be surprising to you, but during the hearing, I mean the confirmation for Ketanji Brown Jackson, she was asked about this and to give her opinion about the Fourth Amendment. I think you guys should check out that clip. It's really interesting where she gets into the idea of originalism and how she's supposed to interpret these things. Because the difficulty of all of this is we go back to that famous word when we're talking about Fourth Amendment, reasonable. Like, what do you consider a reasonable search or seizure? And whose definition of reasonable in whatever context makes sense? And that's where we get into today, where, because you guys are talking about different cases, and I, you know, started looking around, just trying to find a few, and let's see. But the one that stuck out was United States versus Jones. That's the GPS case, where they put the GPS on his vehicle, and their claim was that wasn't a search.
Right.
The court disagreed because they feel like once you attach something like that to somebody's property and can track them, then that's even beyond a search. So there's that one. And then there was the Riley versus California, and this kind of gets into the digital age where if the police pulled you over and you had a cigarette box with some paraphernalia in it, they would be able to go into your cigarette box, and they were trying to draw a straight line from that to the information in your cell phone. And your boy Roberts ruled the other way and said, yes, cell phone search is a search. Your digital property is, you know,
your property.
That's your stuff. Essentially. So yeah, man, this Fourth Amendment stuff is really deep, but I got a problem with a lot of libertarians and conservatives because I never heard them say anything about stop and frisk, which is the ultimate search and seizure.
Well, and that's where, so again, he was talking a little bit earlier about we started our own new political party, and that's where we break ranks, I guess you could say, with the right, is very much because, again, we think the GOP, I personally anyway, think the GOP has went overboard on a lot of the law enforcement and have given up a lot of their rights granted by the Constitution. I mean, they've gotten a lot more authoritarianism into the authoritarianism, and like Brown, like Justice Brown.
Mm.
A lot of people don't realize she was actually a public defender. So if you're looking for a Supreme Court justice who will protect our Bill of Rights, who will protect the rights of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, she is probably going to be one of the biggest champions as far as protecting these rights that we're talking about, those ten amendments that we hold so dear. I mean, because again, she has seen the abuse as a public defender. And me and Jeremy talked a little bit about the show about stop and frisk, because again, that is another prime example of what should be a clear cut violation of people's Supreme Court of people's a search. I mean, your body, what's more personal than your body?
Right.
So yeah, I guess you can see that's one of those points where we're gonna veer off from what the GOP does, and because again, we are a strong believer of individual rights. You are responsible for your body. You have a right to your body. You have a right to what happens in your house. One of the cases that I was surprised at, though, is a case in Oliver versus United States, where police officers went past a no trespassing sign. Nobody was there to tell them to get off. So they walked around a couple hundred feet onto the property and found a marijuana field. Which is probably what they were looking for, but they didn't have a warrant. But that was allowed because it was outside. There was no clear expectation of privacy
that for an open deal. And that's one of those things, again, I disagree with, because your property is supposed to be your property. But in 1984, that's how the Supreme Court ruled.
Yeah, that's one of those cases where wealth determines the law. Like, if you got adequate counsel,
yep,
and you can really fight that to the degree that you need to, then yes. But if you're a normal, everyday, average working Joe, yeah, you're going to take the L on that one. And that's the difficulty of a lot of this, is because so many people are ingrained with so much fear that's pumped through their airwaves 24/7, that a lot of the things that you start to see go kind of slipshod is because of people's fear. So that's why in certain neighborhoods, the idea of Miranda rights being read is something that they would laugh at. Like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
we're not going to do that.
Well,
and, you know.
And that's where I get so frustrated with people, because if you don't protect the rights of the most marginalized, who's going to protect your rights? You've got to protect the rights of everybody, or nobody's rights are protected.
Well, the same principle for the next mass shooting or whatever monster that does something really egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that person does that, that person needs adequate counsel. That person needs a trial, not a mob of people online saying they should just die and that's that. Because even monsters need that protection. Otherwise, you don't get it. So, yeah, I get you on that, man. But I just wanted to weigh in for a few, man. You guys have a good show. This was an interesting topic, and I hang back and listen.
Hey, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it. We're always looking for people to come on here and just shoot the shit with us and tell us what their perspectives are. Because let's face it, I mean, we all come from a different background.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah.
Hi, man.
Thank you very much, man. And you feel free to call it any Tuesday night when we're on air. We're glad to have you join in the conversation and discuss things. That's the only thing. The only way we're going to educate the public on what their rights are and what is going on in this country right now, with the utter violation of our Constitution. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They've stacked federal courts, state courts. The system is corrupt from your local school boards all the way to the top. So we wouldn't be having to have this conversation if it wasn't so corrupted. But thank you again, man, for calling in. We truly appreciate it. And I do have another caller I got to grab.
All right, man.
Bye. We're on a roll.
So I do have another caller. This guy is an actual friend of mine. He just messaged me, and he had some questions, Bull, about the Constitutional Republic Party. So I'm going to bring Dan. His name is Dan. We'll bring him on now. Dan, you're live on air with Jeremy and Travis Bull Johnson. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good, man. My condolences for being Jeremy's friend, though.
He's a good guy. he does a lot of good things. So, I mean, that's one thing about Jeremy. He's not afraid to stick his neck out there, and he always speaks the truth. So,
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. You asked me a question about the Constitutional Republic Party expanding to other states, and I'll let you just go ahead and have the conversation with Travis, since he is the founder and the chair of the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota, and he can answer those questions better than I can. I just got involved and got on board, so I'll be more knowledgeable here, I'm sure, within the next couple months.
Yeah, that was my question to Jeremy. You know, I followed Jeremy and watched him for a long time, and like I say, we've been friends for a long time, and fought a lot of issues within the trucking industry. And you know, I've seen where it's time to get rid of the two-party system because they're both failing us miserably. I've said that for several years now. I mean, you in order to get anything done, you got to play one system to get this done, and then you got to play the other side to get this done. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be, it should be an equal playing field, and it's not.
Yep.
And that's what they've taken away from us with the two-party system. And, you know, I just that was my question you know, are you guys looking to expand to other states and broaden your horizons?
Yes.
And maybe set your sights towards D.C.?
Yeah, we are wanting to supplant, I guess you could say, some of the major parties. We want to be involved in every state. We want to be a part of the discussions. And you're not going to be a part of the major discussions to fix things if you're only localized.
Right.
It's going to be some challenges because we have to find people who have some get up and go and some initiative, because the way our party is being structured is we are trying not to be top down. We want to empower the people in the individual areas or in the individual states, because this is part of the problem we have with our politics right now, is all the decisions are being made from D.C. or they're being made from the state capital. Okay. They're not always being made from where the issues might actually lie. So we are trying to decentralize as much as possible, which means when we start going into other states, we need people in these other states that are going to be willing to do the legwork to help set it up. Because, I mean, setting up a political party is not a joke. I'm learning that very quickly. We will definitely help anybody we can to set up an affiliate in other states, because that is what we're going to need to do. Is we're going to need to have representatives in basically every state if we want to grow this party and actually have a chance of moving that needle, of breaking into that duopoly and saying, hey, you know what? It's not just a two-person show anymore.
Uh-huh.
We will be heard. Where are you calling me from?
I'm actually calling you from I'm down in Little Rock, Arkansas right now. I'm having my truck worked on, but I am from Missouri.
Okay. I actually had a couple members join, at least one other member joined from Missouri today.
Okay.
I got an email earlier from somebody else in Missouri. So there's definitely the interest that's there.
Well, I think there's interest across the nation, and the more that, you guys can get the message out, and, you know, after kind of hearing, you know, what I watched some of your other posts and videos, that's what I was kind of scrolling through and doing and kind of trolling it. And it's something that I think I want to, definitely donate to. And it's one thing about me. I always like to help out the up and coming, because, you know, that's going to be the next thing. It takes a lot of stair steps to get to where you got to go.
Yeah.
And
I tell you what, and people don't always appreciate what it takes to make these things happen. I mean, this is one of the things that we were talking about in our convention this weekend when we broke up to the side, is we started talking about we're going to petition in Minnesota to be a recognized party here. But you know what? That takes money. I mean, you have to get business cards printed. You got to get trifolds or pamphlets printed, because you're going to be going to door to door. You want to leave something with somebody to look at to learn about your party. And
yep.
These things aren't cheap. You need the we definitely appreciate any help you would give us on that. I mean, our website is constitutionalrepublicparty.us.
Yep.
Make sure you give us your information, because again, we do want to be able to. We send out probably an email every week or two. We try not to spam people's boxes, but it kind of tells people what's going on. But what's important is if I can get addresses to the people in these various states, then we can try to get them together to start forming our affiliates, start getting people involved there who can start making that impact there. Because that makes a big difference. The more states that we're present in and that we can show that we're present in, that gets us treated differently by the Federal Elections Commission.
Right.
Uh, what our limits are on what people can donate is different from the stage we're at right now, which we're just considered a political organization, to when we switch to a state-type party compared to a nationally recognized party.
Right.
I think we need to have seven or eight. We need to be have substantial presence in seven or eight states before they'll recognize us as a national party. But at that point, now you have a lot more options as far as you're a lot more bigger donors are more willing to look at you at that point.
Right.
But not to mention media. Media takes you a lot more serious at that point. That is one of the hardest things for a new party or a candidate who's not a part of the two-party system is to get that media recognition, get the media to notice you.
Right, and you know, the two-party system's not going to go down. You know, they're going to be kicking and screaming about it the whole way. We know that. I mean, that's just the games that they've played for how many years now. I mean, the first words they'll say is, well, we've got a third party. Well, we haven't had a third party in how long? I mean, when was the last time that third party was actually utilized in the national elections, you know, and to make a difference.
Because they keep on wanting to call other parties a spoiler parties, but truth of the matter is, when you are a spoiler party, then you actually have an impact, because at that point, what's important to you has to become important to the other two parties if they want to win their voters back.
Yep.
So even if you don't win an election, you still have an impact on public policy because you're pulling them towards your direction. And don't get me wrong, we want to kick the asses of the other two parties. We have some interesting elections that's going to happen this year in Minnesota, because in Minnesota, we are so divided as far as the rural and the metro areas.
Right.
Your rural areas are 70% lean to the right. Your metro areas are 70% that lean to the left.
Yep.
This is good. This is great for us. Why? Because if 70% of your district is Republican, Republicans have no fear if they vote outside the two-party system, because the Democrats will never win a race with 30%.
Yep.
You can split that sucker down the middle, and guess what? The Democrats still don't win.
Yep.
Same way in the cities. We can go into the cities and attack the Democrats and the Republicans, and again, your Democrats, your old blue dog Democrats, can vote for us without worrying about giving it to the Republicans. The Republicans can vote for us because they don't think they have a chance anyway. That's the opportunities where we can get in there if we can educate people to these facts. Because I hear all the time, you're going to split the vote. It's like, okay, hero, educate me here. I mean, 72% of my district voted for the Republican candidate last election. How in the hell do we split that where the Democrats win? I don't understand.
Right.
And
because you're still taking away from the other party in the whole.
And the thing is, with the other party only getting 24% of the vote anyway, you can't win with that. There's no possible way that party can win. So there is no risk to voting for the third party in these heavily split districts. In those districts that are 45 and 55, you know what? Those are going to be harder districts for us to make progress in, because then those votes become a lot more susceptible to these parties swearing the bad guy's going to win if you vote for the third party. That works in those close districts, but it doesn't work in these districts that are so widely spread apart if we do a good job of education. I'm sorry, I got on a roll there.
No, you're fine. That's what I wanted to hear, you know, is, you know, what the party stands for and where its goal is and where you guys are wanting to go to. I mean, because we've seen a lot of failures over the years, and a lot of people kind of get discouraged about stepping in behind something like this just because the failures.
Well, let me explain a little bit more to yourself and to the listeners about what our vision is, what we are about. Why are we different? We are different because two reasons. One, we don't want to control you. Two, we also don't want to control our candidates. We want to find candidates who agree with our and follow our principles of a small government, leave you alone. But we're not going to micromanage them. We're not going to say, you know what, this is your policy on abortion. This is your policy on gun rights. We're going to say, hey, follow the Constitution. As long as you follow the Constitution and you can justify what your positions are with the Constitution, we're not gonna micromanage you. Your first goal is not to represent us. It's to represent the people who elected you. And that's what we lost in this country. Our representatives don't represent us. They represent the parties they belong to, and we don't want that. We want that power to go back to the people, which is what the Constitution originally intended. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little passionate about this, but it is something that I firmly believe, because I do believe that the representatives don't feel that they represent us anymore. They are just pawns of their own party. And that's not what I want our party to be about.
Since I got Daniel on the line with us, or Dan, I'm sorry, I wanted to update you guys on something. So the U.S. at U.S. ConRep on TikTok posted a video of me at the convention in Alexandria on Saturday. And that video has now reached 27,000 views, and we have gained over 500 followers today just on our TikTok account. That is a very huge sign, a very big sign, and a very telling sign that the American people are tired of the two-party system, and they are looking and they are thirsting for change. And I'm so happy to be a part of this, and Dan, I'm so happy that you called in and asked your question. So Bull could actually explain it not only to you, but everybody else that listens to this and are like, wow, these guys are common sense. Yeah, we're common sense. And the fact that, Dan, you got on here and you backed me up about who I am, me and Dan, let me give you a little background about me and Dan. We didn't start on the right foot. I didn't know him, and I took him the wrong way, and I wasn't very nice to him at the very beginning of our relationship. But when I found out who and what he was, I apologized to him like immediately. And I still to this day, I probably say I'm sorry to him every once in a while. Man, I'm really sorry that I thought that of you. You know what I mean?
And you know, that's
bottom,
just, you know,
go ahead, man.
I would say that was just, you know, we kind of laughed at each other in a completely different way. But yet we agreed to disagree on certain items, and then the end result, I mean, we become friends over this, you know, just by putting the past aside and moving on, you know, and that's what I see that fails within the two-party system is they don't put the past aside and they keep lashing out. And that's what I like, you know, like, that's what I like to hear is, you know, people being able to put the past aside and realize, you know, it's not black and white. There is that gray area, and you guys can't come to that gray area to meet in the middle.
Right. You know, and that's the thing too, Dan, is you and I have had our differences in the past, but we were both man enough and American enough and human enough to admit when we were wrong, apologize when we were wrong, and ultimately become friends over it and say, you know what, that's called integrity, ladies and gentlemen. And anybody that knows me, and I'm pretty sure Dan would agree with me on this, if I'm wrong and you prove me wrong, whether it's your actions, your words, whatever it may be, and I treated you unfairly. I will be the first one to apologize to you. If I'm wrong and I gave you the wrong information, I will be the first one to tell you, I apologize, I gave you the wrong information. I am not here for a popularity contest. Not at all. I may have one time, may have kind of seemed like I was, and that was me fighting for my position to be where I'm at today. But I'm not here for the popularity. I can guarantee you that. I'm here because I want to see change in this country. I'm here because I want to see everybody know what their constitutional rights are, because our federal and state governments obviously don't care about what you know or what you think your rights are. But there is a document that's held together for over 240 years that guarantees you certain rights. So you deserve to know them, so you're not prosecuted or persecuted unfairly. So I thank you, Dan, for calling and you know, being able to talk to Travis, not face to face, but pretty close to that.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you're getting direct, you know, conversation and his explanation of what we stand for, which is why I am involved. Kind of is a tell that, yeah, I got involved because this is common sense. This is, you know, there's no radicalism here. We're trying to make a change according to our Constitution. So, no, I appreciate you getting on here, Dan, and having that dialogue with Travis, and I'm sure he appreciates it probably more than I do.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the more you educate yourself, the better off you are, and I've always been one, and you know that as well as I do. You know, you can never have too much education in matters like this, and, you know, and what you follow and who you follow, because sometimes you get in a bad situation, and sometimes, you know, it's a situation you should be in full force, so.
Well, and the beautiful thing is, Dan, you and I, between you and I, we have a network of people. We're not worldwide, mm-hmm. countrywide. You and I have a very big network of people where we can really help get this. I'm not even going to call it a political establishment or any of that. I'm going to call it a movement of people, of patriot-minded people that now have a legit political platform that we can spread nationwide and get people involved in our system so we can right the wrong and start clear steering this ship in the right direction. It's nice to hear that you're involved.
One of the biggest things I hear, and I talk to a lot of people just like you do, and I'm sure you hear the same thing, is, you know, why did you vote for this one here? Well, I didn't vote for either one because I didn't feel they was a bit, you know, they was going to do for me what I want, so I just don't vote. And how many times have we heard that out of people who, and not only do they miss out on the most important votes, but they also miss out on votes with the municipal elections and the state elections. You know, they give up on it because there's nothing there that they see intrigues them as far as person-wise to get them out to the ballot. And I think with a party that actually stands for the Constitution, then that's something that anybody can vote on. What do you stand for? We stand for the Constitution. Well, I like the Constitution because that's what our freedoms are based off of. And that's what people, I think, have been looking for. And that's kind of the failure within the two-party system because neither one of them my personal opinion, give two craps about the Constitution anymore, and they just let it go to the wayside.
No, I think you're right with that analogy because everybody is just sick of the two-party system. They're sick of being force-fed through mainstream media, this agenda, that agenda, and this agenda. And the bottom line is now you have a group of people that are like-minded, just like you, that just want to be left alone by the governments, state, federal, local. They just want to be left alone. They want to go on about their lives, help make this country work financially by paying their taxes, however so, and just that's it. They don't want to be force-fed agendas. And we're seeing this in local media, or not local, it's national media, the mainstream media, different agendas being force-fed down your throat when you don't want it. And you're seeing a lot of conflict and a lot of people rising up. And I'm not going to get into specifics on that. I think we all know what we're talking or what I'm talking about. But it's refreshing to see when I was at the convention on Saturday in Alexandria, sitting in a room with like-minded individuals. And next time that we have a gathering or a convention, Dan, I will make sure that you're my guest of honor, so you can sit in and observe what is being said and what is happening. And I'll try to share more stuff out as of what I know and what is coming out. Now that I'm sitting on the executive board at large, I will have a lot more information that I can share out per se. There's some stuff that
right.
we have to kind of just keep to the wayside right now, just because we're in the process of making it happen. But it's important that guys like yourself get involved and take interest in what we're trying to do, because that's ultimately how we're going to become successful. So, again, man, I truly appreciate you calling in and asking your questions and having a conversation with Travis, because Travis wasn't just answering you. I think he was answering a lot of people out there that had the same question you did.
Right. Just kind of sitting on the fence, and now they're, it helps you decide, whenever you get questions answered, that's how you decide which way you need to go with it. And I think it's a truthful movement. So.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, man. And again, I couldn't say that to you more. But it's those of you that are listening, you have to start paying attention. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not telling you that you have to vote for us, but at least listen to the people that are running for office or trying to change this country. Instead of voting for the D or the R, realize that there's other choices out there, ladies and gentlemen, that are honestly looking out for your best interests, not because, we have to vote party lines. Why do you got to vote party lines? That's something that they've convinced you and programmed you to believe since the beginning of time. And the definition of insanity, ladies and gentlemen, is voting, or not voting, but doing the same thing over and over again, which in this case, voting for the same party and expecting different results, when they have proven to not only you, but to the American people, they're not interested in changing what this country has become. They're interested in retaining power. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'll let you go, Dan. If you have anything else, otherwise I'll let you go so we can wrap this one up.
Nope. It was a pleasure talking to you guys, and I wish you all the best, and I hope to hear more from you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
I just muted Bull. Sorry about that, man.
Oops. So you're trying,
no, you're back now.
Hey, there is something
ahead.
I want to throw out there if I can.
I'm sorry.
When we were at this convention on Saturday, there is one thing I want to highlight and make sure everybody is tracking and understanding wherever they're calling in from or wherever they're listening in from. We had a gentleman at the convention on Saturday who obviously had an issue with immigrants. And we let them know pretty much from the get-go. I mean, this party realizes or embraces the fact that, guess what? We need everybody. Color, race, anything like that does not matter. Okay, we want to make inroads where the other parties won't go. We want the support of the first Americans. We want the support of the immigrants from within Minneapolis. We want the support of the black community, who is, has basically had their backs turned on and been promised the world, and never, it's never been delivered to. The Constitution should be the same for all of us. And the caller that we had a little earlier ago really made me kind of remember and focus on that for a moment, because unfortunately, it's part of our history. Yep, and that's where I was going to go. As part of our history, that has not always been the case. By now, our platform should be posted on our website, and our website is theconstitutionalrepublicparty.us. And I would draw everybody's attention to the first article on our platform. And what that does is it talks about what our beliefs are based upon, and we highlight the things, some of the things that are important to us are the Bill of Rights and the 14th Amendment. We consciously put mentioned that 14th Amendment on there because we did want to acknowledge that the Constitution wasn't always perfect, but our thought process is in line with the 14th Amendment, that all men, all people, are created equal, and they are all entitled to the same protections of the Constitution. Many of you know, and a lot of you might be followers or supporters of the NRA. At one time, I was. The day I stopped supporting them was the day in Minneapolis a few years ago where a gentleman named Philip Castile was shot by a police officer. And he was shot because he was practicing his Second Amendment rights of having a registered firearm with him in his car.
And his name, again, was Philandro Castile.
Philandro Castile. And
yep.
The NRA was silent. The NRA did not come to his defense, as they would have probably if he was any other color besides the color that he was. And that day, on that day, the NRA was dead to me, because he had as much right to practice his Second Amendment rights as I did, and he was shot because of it. He was murdered because of it. And the organization that was there to protect our Second Amendment rights, including his, was silent.
And
honestly,
I want to get into the conversation about this particular case, because everybody wants to always go back to the George Floyd case. I don't want to talk about the George Floyd case right now. I want to talk about Philando Castile, because he was pulled over for a broken taillight. He informed the officers that he had a concealed carry permit and that his pistol was in his middle console. The police officer asked him, "Can you please get me your ID?" He reached for where his gun was with his ID, and he just shot him. Philando Castile, I watched that case very carefully, and that was wrong. And there's way more that I can give you examples of. I'm not going to use Michael Brown. I'm not going to use George Floyd. I will use Philando Castile's, and I will use Sandra Bland's case. And I will use Freddie Gray's case. There's a lot of cases, just because, you know, you may not have supported BLM, or you may not have, or may have or may not have, there's right and there's wrong. There's a constitution for the purpose, for a purpose that you have a guaranteed rights. And you have a guaranteed right especially if you go through the proper channels according to the law and getting a concealed carry, or your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, your Third, Fourth, all of your Bill of Rights. I mean, they guarantee you rights. And Philando Castile was murdered by a police officer in, was it Brooklyn Park? I don't remember exactly what city, but it was a traffic stop. And there's another one also who happened to be a white lady. And forgive me for not remembering her name. Justice Diamond. Sorry, I did remember her. Yep. That was another happy trigger cop. But this guy, this particular case, happened over this guy was a Somalian immigrant, this cop, that shot across his partner through the driver's side and hit the passenger because they banged on the back of her car when after they reported what they thought was a rape in the alleyway. Justice Diamond. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have to pay attention to the cases, you have to pay attention to testimony in court. Just like what's the kid's name in Wisconsin that was found not guilty for defending himself? That's a
Rittenhouse,
very
Kyle
Rittenhouse. Case. Kyle Rittenhouse, another case that you should look into. Read the facts before you just believe what the mainstream narrative is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I'm going to say. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bull, but I have so many examples in my head that I could go on and on and on and on about, but you were making a good point. But go ahead and continue, my friend.
No, the only other thing I want to say is just from the political party standpoint is if you're in the metro and you are interested in our party, please reach out to me, send me an email. We are trying to get established, and we are trying to get involved with some of the issues there and raise the knowledge of our party in these areas. But to be honest with you, I mean, a lot of our party currently look and sound a lot like me, white males, most of us from outside the city. And this party is not, I don't want a party that's one-dimensional that way. So I am inviting you. Please reach out. My email is bull@constitutionalrepublicparty.us. If you want to be involved, please. I am personally inviting you, especially if you are one of the minority populations. Please reach out to me because we want you as part of this party. I am asking you to help me build and be a part of this party. Not as a token, but I mean as an actual leader and person who's going to make this happen. So again, please reach out to me if you're out there, if you're listening, because it is important to me that our party is a representation of this country. The only prerequisite we have is that you believe in the Constitution. That you believe in the smallest government possible to accomplish the protection of the people, and that you just believe in your individual rights. So please reach out to me if you're interested.
And I want everybody else to know one more thing too. So I do a radio show on Thursday nights called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. All this is on blogtalkradio.com. So if you want to share it with your friends and families, this show or my show I do on Thursday nights, go to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G, Talk Radio, all one word, .com. And when you get to there, there's a search bar. Just type in the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network. That will give you every single one of our episodes, whether it be the Constitutionalist or the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, I want you all to understand something. One of my co-hosts on there is, his name is Daryl Gibbs. He ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, and he happens to be a black man. He happens to be an ex-police officer. He happens to be in the Air Force. He happens to be involved with a lot of different things. I don't want to make anything about race anymore. I'm tired of the race conversation. I'm tired, well, he's a black man, or he's a white man, or he's a Hispanic, or he's Oriental. No. We are all Americans. If you live in this country and you're legally here and you have your paperwork, you are here. You are an American. You're an equal. You deserve equal rights under the Constitution as me. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your ethnic background is or what your religious background is. You have equal protections from the Constitution and equal rights from the Constitution. So in order to get away from the race talk, the Constitutional Republic Party is not here to divide us between race. We're here to make you understand that we all have equal rights under the Constitution, no, regardless of your skin color, regardless of what your religion is. It's called freedom, ladies and gentlemen, and you should not be held back because you possess the same freedom that your neighbor does. And that's my closing statement, Bull. If you want to make a closing statement before we stop this program tonight, I urge you to. And thank you for every one of the callers that we had tonight. It always helps other people that are listening to see where the Constitutional Republic Party stands. And it goes right back to the Constitution. That's where we stand. If it's upheld by our Constitution, then we support that. So, Bull, I'll give you let you have your final moment for your final thoughts, and then we will end the Constitutionalist number 4, and we'll see you guys all next Tuesday night for the Constitutionalist number 5, where we will talk about your Fifth Amendment rights, and that's going to be a good one. So, Bull, without further ado.
Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us and being with us here today. We apologize for not being over there the last couple of weeks, but real life gets in the way sometimes, and especially between Jeremy being a over-the-road truck driver and me trying to own and manage a small farm, sometimes things come up. So, but we're glad you all joined us tonight. Thank you for listening to what we had to say, and I would like you to invite you to come out and check out our Constitutional Republic Party at constitutionalrepublicparty.us and help us become part of the difference, part of the ones that actually return the power to the people instead of just talking about it. I mean, we were talking about what kind of a motto we wanted for the party today. And I think when we started throwing things around, one thing we kept on coming back to was people, not politics. And that's where I think we're settling in on, and that's what we're about. It's about the people. It's about returning the power to the people. So thanks very much for signing in, for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, Bull. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it's people above politics. We're all people. We have to remember that we're American people. We have founding documents that were written more than 240 years ago, and they've stood in place for this long. And we have people that are in power now that are trying to shred those documents because it doesn't benefit them according to their power. And I want you all to know one thing, and I'm going to leave you with this statement, and then I'm going to play a final song. But be the change that you want to see in this world. And I've lived that life for quite a few years now. You have to stand up, you have to get involved, and you have to be the change you want to see in this world. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all have a great day. God bless each and every one of you. And go visit constitutionalrepublicparty.us.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be